Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talkin'.
It is what it is.
Peace. What up, family? We are back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotel for Barry Ghani and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Montoy, a.k.a. Mubashara.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back at Collective Minds. We ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. Family, hope everybody had a wonderful week, a good holiday weekend. You know, whether you celebrate Thanksgiving or you don't, hope you had a good time with your family, you know, enjoyed the day off, got some good food, and we back. You know, we back in the building. Thanks for joining us. Got a lot to talk about, you know, this week. And before we get started, though, like always, Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
Okay, thank you. I had a busy week. Just got done with the concert on Friday, after Thanksgiving. So that wore me out, but it was a good show, it was a good time. And you guys missed it. If you missed it, you missed it. It was Bobby Rush in St. Louis. This man is 87 years old with a head full of hair. That's all I got to say. 87. It's amazing how he have his strength. You know, still traveling. And Miss Robert, she's 81. And they stood up there in their 80s. They sang, they danced, they did full shows. I ain't seen no 80-year-olds like that too many. You know, they don't be out there like that too much. But, you know, so that was busy. That's over. So now I'm just looking forward to, you know, the next week coming up to get some other projects in line. But I had a great week last week. I predict this week is going to be great as well. And that's about it.
All right. Sounds good. That's what's up. And our brother Mufasa Ra, my good brother, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
Yeah. Man, my week been busy. It's all outdoors also. Look, I work a 10-day stretch. I'm in the middle of it right now. At my place of employment. And that's something I ain't did in a long time. So I'm tired. you know, trying to keep my family afloat and handle business, you know, it can be challenging. But, you know, a man got to do what he got to do. So, yeah, it's been a busy week. All is well. No major now.
It is what it is.
All right. Yep. Yes, indeed. No announcements. Really. Well, I guess I'll make this an announcement. You know, just shout out to and a rest in peace to Malcolm X's daughter, who we had found out, Malika Shabazz. She had passed away. They saying of natural causes, and she had been dealing with some a long-term illness or whatnot. But the circumstances around her death are kind of vague, you know, even though they're saying it was natural causes. But she was 56. So the daughter of Malcolm X, Malika Shabazz, passed away this past week. So I want to send a, you know, rest in power to her. Also, the brother of Virgil Abloh, who was he actually he started out with Kanye, and then he ended up starting a brand called Off-White. I don't know if y'all heard of that, but he started Off-White. He had worked for Louis Vuitton as well. But he was a brother, American-born, I think, Ghanaian, immigrant parents or whatnot. But the brother, he passed away this week, and they say he was battling cancer.
Oh, wow. I heard Kanye speak of him.
Yeah, Kanye speak of Virgil. Yeah, he spoke of Virgil on Drink Champs. Yeah, he spoke of Virgil on Drink Champs. And I think when Virgil graduated college, he ended up working for Kanye. I think they've been knowing each other a long time. He from Chicago, Kanye from Chicago. But the brother was moving up in, like, you know, the fashion world. He had got a deal, I believe, with Louis Vuitton, and then he started his own label, high-end luxury label called Off-White, that was doing pretty good. You know, you might see a lot of rappers, celebrities was wearing his brand. And
what
whatnot.
Was it called again?
It's called Off-White. Yeah, it's called
okay.
Off-White.
At first, I thought you said Off-White.
No. Off. O-F-F White.
Okay.
So, yeah, that brother passed this past week. And, you know, somebody had put up a post like, you know, we don't have to be out here dying of cancer because, you know, Dr. Sebi has got the, well, not the cure, but he treats the body in order so it can heal itself and fight off these cancerous things. And I'm sure, you know, Kanye knew about Dr. Sebi because he spoke, he mentioned Dr. Sebi in a few interviews or whatnot. So I don't understand why people who are in these situations and you have the resources don't, you know, particularly reach out and see if there's other alternatives, you know, to cancer, alternative treatments besides the, you know, the regular chemo and all that type of stuff. And I remember doing some research back in the day on this guy named Raymond Weil, Caucasian man who actually said he had a cure for cancer. And they ended up, of course, you know, trying to basically suppress his information and suppress the type of treatment he had and whatnot. But he said he had a cure, and this was back at least, you know, I want to say 50, 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a shame that, you know, you got some got people still dying of this disease. And me personally, I believe there is a cure. They know what's going on. But I think the, you know, the, between the chemo and the donations for the Cancer Society and all that type of stuff, they make so much money just on treating cancer. It's like, why would they, you know, present a cure to the population when they make so much money just treating it and, you know, raising money to fight it and all this stuff. They get more money doing that than actually saving these people's lives. But, you know, that's just cosmic Kev conjecture on that. But rest in peace to that brother. Rest in peace to Malika Shabazz. And then also we had Young Dolph. They say death come in three, so, you know, there go three right there. We had Young Dolph pass last week. Well, the week prior as well. So, you know, shout out to all of them and condolences to the family. But without further ado, family, we are here. This is Collective Minds. Make sure y'all hit us up. The number is 929-477-1697. And, again, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. And we do value the opinions of all our callers and listeners. So, you know, make sure y'all hit us up. And, yeah, so I got a few things on the table. But I'm going to defer to y'all, let y'all, if y'all want to put something out there. And we'll discuss, and then we'll get to the call line. So Queen Raiju.
Well, I just want to ask
okay.
briefly, what you got to think about that new variant that's coming out of Africa? What do you guys think
right,
about that?
Right.
You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to announce that the vaccine is not going to work for that. There's going to be more shots prepared.
The booster needs a booster. I hate to say this, but I heard about it, and I just been just brushing it to the side, to be honest with you, because I'm so done with the whole ordeal with the COVID and sitting back there seeing how all this stuff played out and it's still playing out. I'm just through with it. Like, I'm just, like, I don't even want to hear nothing else about these variants and all this stuff because I don't believe in none of it. So it's just, I see it, and I just brush it to the side. Because I already know, like you was just saying, all they're trying to do is continue to push people to get vaccinated. And I ain't with that. So all these little things they keep coming up with, I just been ignoring them because at the end of the day, I don't care what new strand pops down, what they say is out, I'm still not getting vaccinated. So whatever strand come out that take me out, hey, it just took me out. I don't want the vaccine, and I'm not getting it. So they can keep on coming up with all these variants and stuff, but I ain't dealing with it. I don't even read into the propaganda.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of with Mufasa on that one because, I mean, I heard about it, and, you know, I kind of shrugged my shoulders because I think it's just, you know, more scare tactics. They talking about, oh, this is the worst one, and this is, you know, this one is deadly and this and that. So it's kind of like I look at it as just another more of a fear campaign. You know, they trying to get people fearful so they can, you know, get you to take the shot, get you to do this, get you to do that. So I'm not putting too much stock in it. You know, I am keeping an eye on it. They say there's no cases in the U.S., according to the CDC. You know, I went on the CDC website just to kind of, you know, get a glimpse and, you know, for research purposes to see what's going on. And they do say that as far as the vaccines go, that they do not know how effective the vaccines will be against new variants that may arise. So, boom, there you have it right there. They don't know if these vaccines are going to protect you against these new variants. So what they're going to do is keep shooting you up, keep inoculating you every time there's a new variant. You're going to have to keep getting shots, you know, and perpetually, if that's the word, you know, forever. Because I think there's going to be a new variant that comes every, you know, year or so, you know what I mean? Just like a flu strand, it's going to be different strands that pop up and they go tell you you need a vaccine or you're going to need a booster for the booster. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking at it from afar. You dig what I'm saying? And just kind of watching how it play out. They say this new strand, it's called the Omicron variant, and they say it started in Africa. Which is interesting because Africa was one of the places with a low vaccination rate, but they also had a low COVID rate from what was being reported. You know what I'm saying? So I find it interesting that now they got this deadly variant that came from, you know, the continent of Africa. So, yeah, we'll see how it play out. I ain't putting too much stock in it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to see me rushing and getting no shot or nothing. I'm just kind of playing it by ear because I know how, you know, the propaganda goes. So, you know, I'm just playing it by ear for real. What you think about it, Ryzen? What you think?
Well, I'm pretty much, you know, think like I'm. Well, first off, I'm not interested in getting a shot. You know, I'm not interested. I don't trust it. And I think they are using it to just control, you know, control society and to, you know, getting a shot. They're going to keep scaring you enough where, you know, they're going to just try to get more and more people to go ahead and just fold under the pressure. Or the ones that they got that's going to keep getting all these shots. And too much of anything is a bad thing. So they want to keep getting all those shots and they letting them people shoot all that stuff up in them, and that's just on them. I wouldn't recommend it. I personally wouldn't. You know, it's just saying like they don't really know what's going on. Either they don't know what's going on, and so they just saying just keep getting the shot, or they just trying to control you for a whole nother reason. You know, either way, I'm not with it. So I just found it funny that they now announcing these two, and they don't, and they already saying that the vaccine, they saying without saying that the vaccine is not going to work, because I can't see them coming back in a week or two saying, oh yeah, we were wrong, the vaccine works, you guys are good. Nah, that's not going to happen. They're going to more than likely say right. It don't work, and we have some more booster shots for you, because it's all about the money. You know, they make money off of this, so it's all about the money as well. So they're going to come back
right.
and put some more boosters in the community.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how things play out this winter. I know the stock market went down because, you know, people got a little nervous about the strand and, you know, the stock market kind of went down this past Friday or whatnot. So we'll see how it play out. We know this is a global game, a global economy, and that's how they're moving. You know, they want to keep the people in fear, in my opinion, and this is just one other way to keep people backpedaling and on their toes, you know what I'm saying, on their heels, rather. I'm sorry. Keep people on their heels.
And I don't know if I mentioned this, too, but I did get my first rejection for not having been able to show my vaccine card. I don't know if anybody else had that experience yet, but I got my first rejection.
What happened?
Well, I wasn't allowed to go in the venue because I couldn't show proof of vaccine. I couldn't show my vaccine card, so they wouldn't allow me in the building. I got my first rejection.
Yes. Yeah, that's wear it like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Right. You hear me? For real. Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
first check. Well, it happens to the best of us.
You know, Brother Ken, when you brought up talking about, you know, what happened with Malcolm X's family member who passed.
Mm-hmm.
That put into... That had made me think about something that had been on my mind about, you know, the brothers who was exonerated for Malcolm X's death.
Right.
And I don't see a lot of, maybe I might have missed over it. I could be wrong in this. Y'all can tell me if y'all think I'm wrong, but I don't see too many black people discussing it. You know, I try to, you know, look around at different black sites here and there, and I didn't see too many people talking about it. And my thing is, when that happened, when Malcolm X was murdered, that was one of the things that helped divide black people who was following the Nation of Islam, because some people thought, you know, it was that Elijah Muhammad had people kill Malcolm X. So it's like that was a major setback, in my opinion, for the black community. And now that this has happened with these men being exonerated, I would like to see more talks come up about, well, who do we really think killed Malcolm X? Who was really behind it? You know, I don't know where y'all at in y'all thought process or who y'all think had something to do with it. But I'm interested to know, how do y'all feel about that, about them two men who got exonerated? And when are we going to start, you know, diving deeper, talking more about who really killed Malcolm and trying to make set a wrong right?
Right, right. Well, remember we have a discussion about the series on Netflix. I believe it was titled Who Killed Malcolm X, and I think the brother did a good job with that. And, you know, with that, like I think my opinion still stays the same. I think, you know, for me, I could start at the top, you know, with the government, FBI, CIA, NYPD, you feel me? I think those are the main culprits. And then you probably got some low-level, possibly NOI folks to carry out the job. We know the one brother that was living, I believe, in New Jersey somewhere. I believe he's one of the people who confessed to the crime. And he was in the documentary. I think he's no longer with us. He might have passed away or whatnot. But, yeah, I think it started at the top. I think it's CIA, FBI, NYPD, all in collaboration, probably with some black men that hated Malcolm, and that's where I stand. So I wouldn't go too far as to say, you know, Elijah Muhammad ordered the hit or whatnot. I do know he said a few things that could be questionable, that could have leaned that way, but I'm not sure if he, you know, directly ordered that hit on Malcolm. You know what I'm saying? I think it was a collaboration with the government, like I say. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. You know, just to put it.
And it's
why, know,
it's
why it
all these years later, you finally exonerate these men. You know,
right,
at this point,
right,
shoot, people don't even really care no more. And like I say, but that was used to really divide a strong black movement we had at that time. And we really ain't been the same since.
Right, 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 right. True. And then you add Dr. King getting shot, you know, after that, and that kind of took out all the morale out of black people. You know what I'm saying? That generation of black folks that was, you know, trying to fight against systemic racism and whatnot. And I think when Malcolm getting shot, and then Dr. King, and then you had John F. Kennedy and the other, like his brother Robert Kennedy, like a combination of all those, but in particular Malcolm X and Martin, Dr. King, them two really, I believe, in my opinion, kind of took the wind out of black people's fight. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of a huge blow, you know, in the fight against systemic racism. And as you see after that, if you look at the 70s and 80s on up into the 90s, things just kind of went awry. You know what I'm saying? Things just kind of went kind of, you know, we just lost the sense of community. We lost the togetherness. The 80s came in, they started putting out the money, Reaganomics, and crack era hit, and it was just, then you got the 90s with the murders and the gangs, Crips and Bloods. All that really started at the end of the Civil Rights Movement, you know, starting with Malcolm X getting shot on up through King. So, yeah, those were major events, you know, in American history, black American history. That, you know, we can kind of point to and say, okay, this is kind of the start of the decline of the cohesiveness in the community that we had. And like you say, the nation had a huge movement, you know, through that time, 40s, 50s, 60s. They had a huge movement of black people, and that kind of dissipated, like you say, when Malcolm X got killed. But I digress on that, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, those brothers were exonerated. But, yeah, I think it was the government mostly.
And what about you, Roger? How you feel?
Well, you know, we did have this discussion before. And you know, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, coming from Elijah, which I've already expressed this. I hope it didn't. But it wouldn't surprise me in collaboration still with, you know, the higher government, you know. Just because of, and I'm only going off of just the information that I'm allowed to see. The information that's out there. Information that's placed out there for people to see and the things that I've seen so far. It just seemed like that. It wouldn't surprise me. I did hear that they left the guys out, you know. I don't know how much of that is proof that now you guys correct me if I'm wrong, because the guys that they just recently let out, what were their position? Were their NOI brothers that were enrolled, or were they not, or they were not part of the Nation of Islam, or like, who were they?
Because
I don't remember.
Yeah, they were registered members of the Nation.
Okay, and so they were still active
members. But, you
know, members.
It's just like, imagine this, like we do collective minds, and say we get into it. I'm going to use this as an example, because it kind of happened, so, and I think this is funny. So we bump heads with Cross the Line Radio, the Hebrew Israelites. Right, we get into it. Now, let's say, Roger, you the leader here of Collective Minds Radio. I go over to, a matter of fact, me and Brother Ked, we ride over to Cross the Line Radio, and we take one of them brothers out. Now, that don't mean you called the hit and put it down. That was us that went over there and did that foolishness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I'll be tripping like it don't be fair that they try to put that on Elijah. When I mean, you can't, if you the lead of an organization, you can't be responsible for what every member do in your organization. All you do is trying to lead them and guide them. So if somebody in your organization do something reckless and wild, you know, it's not fair to say it's the leader's fault. When that's just something that this person did on their own, you know, senseless, stupid act.
Yeah, to a degree, you are right. I do agree with you to a degree. You know, I do think that that the leader do bear some responsibility, not all the responsibility, but I'm not saying that just based off of the fact that those guys are NOI, registered NOI members. I'm saying that based off of when you first introduced me to the young man. Remember, I said that from day one when I first saw the very first video of him, the first interview of him, and then adding that on top of the movie. I'm saying that based off of him, not just because that the guys that were arrested were just Nation of Islam. So in my case, it's fair, because I'm not just saying, oh, because they're Nation of Islam, yes, the leader is responsible. No, I'm saying the leader seemed a little suspicious, which I've expressed to you from day one to me. And then now, on top of the guys that were arrested were registered NOI members. So it was a collaboration of those two things and others, you know. So I'm not just saying that because they're that. But if someone is doing that, yeah, I can see why you would say that that's unfair. But in my case, that's not what I'm doing.
Okay.
And the fact that they're out, you know, to me also isn't necessarily proof for me to say, oh, well, nah, they didn't have nothing to do. That's not proof to me, because they still could have and just got out for various reasons, because if there was a collaboration with the government, you know, it's just it is what it is. You know, they sat down quite longer than what the agreement was, you know, but they got out, you know. So you just never know nowadays. I don't put nothing in. And just for a disclaimer, everybody, all the listeners, I'm just speculating. I don't know. He just asked me a question. I'm just speculating and just offering, you know, my view on it.
Now, I do want to add to it that both those men have always maintained their innocence. You know, throughout the whole thing, they both said they were innocent. It was three men that were sentenced altogether. All three men were sentenced to 20 years to life in prison. The two that was exonerated, one of those men, he was paroled in 1985, and the other guy, he was paroled in 1987, but that person died in 2009. So they both got out, you know, quite some time ago. It's just that they were exonerated, meaning that, you know, they
right, created. Yeah,
so,
I remember
so
that.
They were in prison for 20 years for nothing. 20 years.
So what
do
you think happened?
Do
you think it was just five guys that went rogue and took matters in their own hands? They did a cow, just took matters in their own hands.
You want to know what I think? What I think happened?
Yeah. Do you think it was government related? I think they just took matters in their own hands.
Yeah. I definitely think it was some COINTELPRO government involved stuff. Because if you think about it, like we said at that time, the Nation was one of the biggest organizations in the country. You know, and with Malcolm X leading the way, people was gravitating to the Nation, and you know it was becoming a problem. So when you got the government looking like, oh my God, this is the rise of this Black Messiah, and this guy's causing division, and these Black people are on the move, on the rise, we got to figure out a way to stop this. I mean, it's documented that the government was sending in spies and plants to see what the Nation was all about. So I really believe that the men that were involved were planted there by the government, by the police. Because, you know, people can look like you, but they ain't like you. So it's so easy for them to take somebody, put them to the side and say, look, you know, we need you to do this, this, that, and the third. We're trying to, you know, keep an eye on this organization. As a matter of fact, you know, you got some things against you that, you know, we could throw you in jail for. So how about you just work with us and, you know, you get a pass? So I believe that that's what they did. They saw that there was a rift. Let me be we all way 100. Let me try to go in without being too long. I really blame the whole thing on Malcolm X. Because had Brother Malcolm not went public, and this is in my opinion, went public with the rift that he was having between him and Elijah, had he just kept that in-house, I feel that there wouldn't have been a way for the government to intervene to split them up, you know, further apart. So to me, when he did that, they saw a way where, yeah, okay, we can get in. And now if we kill Malcolm, of course everybody's going to point the finger at Elijah. Because he's sitting here saying that, hey, he got all these issues with Elijah. They're already looking at it as a Black militant group and putting propaganda out of basically the Nation being so quote-unquote like terrorists. So, yeah, that was a way for them to divide and conquer. And it worked, because when they took Malcolm out, people were divided. Some people was looking at, just like still to this day, like even yourself, you say you look at Elijah and you wonder, you know, you got these questions. So, no, for me, I don't believe Elijah had nothing to do with that. I think the government saw an opportunity to bring down or hurt the organization, and that's what they did. When Malcolm gave them an opportunity to sneak their way in and make something happen, they did it. And they used Negroes to aid in the cause.
So let me ask you this. Why do you think that they just didn't kill Elijah instead of Malcolm? He raised Malcolm, taught him everything.
Well,
maybe raise someone else up.
Right. They wouldn't have been able to kill Malcolm. See, Malcolm, when he separated, when they went through and he separated from Elijah,
mm-hmm.
that made himself vulnerable. You know, that made him vulnerable. They couldn't get to Elijah. But when Malcolm stepped his way on up out of there, out of the protection of Elijah, that's how he was able to get touched. They may have wanted to kill Elijah Muhammad, but they couldn't get to him. You know, it's just like with Farrakhan. The minister Farrakhan, and called him to take him out for years. You know, but they can't get to him. But look, there's a protocol in place of, like, patting people down and checking people. Everything is a security thing. When Malcolm got killed, all the security protocols got through to the side. He didn't check people that day. So that's how they was able to get to him. And that's why I say, had he just not went public with that and stayed under the umbrella of Elijah, I truly believe he wouldn't have got touched. But he exposed himself.
Do you really believe the government couldn't get to Elijah?
Yeah, I truly believe that.
All right. Yes, indeed. Family, if you're just joining us.
That's something we can go into some more later, because it's going to take me a lot to really break that down and why I say that.
Yeah. Okay. No problem.
Right. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are here. I'm Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev. We got Mufasa Ra and Queen Raiju. Now, before we get to the call lines, I do want to put this out real quick. The Ahmaud Arbery case wrapped up this past week, and the three men were charged with murdering Ahmaud Arbery. For those that don't remember, back in Georgia, the brother was jogging through the neighborhood in February of 2020, and they basically chased this man down and lynched him. You know what I'm saying? They ended up shooting him. It was three white men. They approached him and, you know, they ended up shooting him, which I call it a modern-day lynching. But that trial wrapped up this week, and they were convicted each of murder, and I think they got the sentencing. They're facing life in prison at this point. And a lot of people don't remember about this case. There was a big cover-up in this case because this video that they had recorded of them lynching this man, it had floated around a community for, for a few weeks, I believe. Yeah, a few days or a week or so.
71 days.
Yeah, 71 days. Okay, yeah, so a few months, you know what I mean, a couple months, let's say. And, they was floating around. So not only should they be convicted, like, we got to look at the prosecutor, because these men were basically set free. You know, they had ruled it self-defense, and they was going to let these guys walk if the grassroots wasn't putting the pressure into an investigation as to what was going on. But pretty much they had, you know, just ruled it self-defense and let these men go. They had a video circulating around the community that they were sharing around. You know what I mean? Like, so it was a lot going on with this case. But good to see that justice did prevail, and these men were convicted of murder. So I just want to put that out there. If anybody want to respond, you know, to the Ahmaud Arbery verdict. Well, really, those men were on trial, but they tried to, you know how they do when they kill a black man, the black person that's deceased is always on trial. They want to bring up criminal records and stuff they did in high school and junior high and go through all these things. So it's almost like they're on trial, but this is really a trial to convict, to convict those race soldiers for killing that brother. So I digress. You know, if y'all want to hit the call lines, if y'all want to respond to that real quick, and then we get to the call lines.
Yeah, that's true. So don't be coming up in here and up there talking about like y'all did on George Floyd and talking about, he punched somebody in the face. He did this.
Right.
He kidnapped somebody. Yeah, like Brother Kev said.
Right, right.
Quit always trying to, you know, talk about the deceased black person that was murdered. Like the person that killed them was just innocent, nice, pleasant people.
Like they was doing a good deed. Yeah, trying to save us from.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't come up in here with that foolishness. These guys, they killed this young man, and what's interesting to me is the fact that this is what's scary about human nature and the sick, evil, wicked people that's on this earth. After they done killed this man in cold blood murder, they sitting up here trying to go to court and make excuses and fight to not go to jail for killing somebody. They wanna be excused for murdering someone. How sick is that? They sitting up here fighting to be excused, to say that it's okay that you killed this man for nothing. That's some sick stuff. They want to be able to just murder somebody for nothing and just not go to jail, no nothing. That's a sick mentality. How could you harm somebody, kill somebody, and just think nothing should even happen to you? The fact that they're even fighting for freedom is an evil way of thinking. You didn't kill this man, so just go on sitting down. They mad, they frowned up, they is upset because that the verdict was guilty. I can't wait to see what the sentencing is going to be, like always. So I don't even want to say too much because, you know, the sentencing, hopefully they don't disappoint. So we just see when is that supposed to take place?
I think that's a 25 to life minimum.
Okay.
In the state of Georgia.
Okay.
So they done.
Okay, good.
Of course, you know, I want to make a quick response because we had a discussion about that when it happened live. And all I'm going to say is this. Well, really, I'm going to ask y'all both a question. What did you, what's your takeaway from, Roger, you can go first. What's your takeaway and what lesson did you learn from this case?
Well, the lesson, it's not really so much, I mean, I guess you can call it a lesson, but really it's just a reminder, you know, that folks can have a sick mind and folks can kill somebody and try to make excuses for your death. Somebody can kill you or me today and be in court next week talking about, let me out. Don't lock me up. She should be dead. He should be dead. And we might not have done nothing. So it's not so much a lesson more so than it is a reminder that we just have some sick people out here. And what I take away from this is that I just try to have less interaction with folks, and I try to protect my environment and my circle and the people that I'm associating myself with, because we got some sick folks. So that's what I take away, just to protect my environment and monitor who I allow around me and just be watchful of my environment.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. What about you, Brother Ken? Same question.
What was the question?
Well, yeah.
What have I learned?
What What lesson did you learn from this case, and what's your takeaway from it?
I mean, that's a tough one. I ain't really thought about it, but You know, I mean, I just learned how, you know, a lot of these suspected white supremacists, in my opinion, they stay on code and they stick together. You know, the fact that they killed this man, you had the prosecution in on it, you had the DA, you had the whole town, the sheriff, the police department, they were all in on the cover-up. So if people wouldn't have started digging and started asking questions, who knows what would have happened to this case? And who knows how many times this happens across the country where somebody is shot wrongfully and it's just ruled self-defense. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a shame that they were able to go, you know, 71 days by passing this film around and covering this thing up without nobody doing that. And they all just got on code. Even the people that were sharing the video, nobody thought until the one lawyer dude came out and was like, oh, no, I got to, you know, say something about this video. But nobody before that even thought about taking this video to the authorities or to somebody else. Or, you know what I mean? Like, so it just showed me how, you know, these people stay on code and they look out for each other when it comes to things like this. And I think the takeaway is, like, black people need to learn to be on code. Like, we're in a dirty game. You know, we're playing with people who don't play fair. So it does us no good to try to be righteous and be moral when we're playing in a dirty, filthy game. So we got to get it how we live and play the game how we live. You know what I'm saying? We got to play the game because we're playing with people who don't play fair. And for us to try to play fair in a game where the rules are rigged, the rules can be bent, you know what I mean, the goalposts can be moved at any time, we got to learn how to adjust and be on code with each other. So that's my takeaway. I could have went on, but I'm going to leave it right there.
I make it plain, too. Lesson learned. Stay away from the enemy territory. Stay out of enemy territory or war. Stay out of enemy territory. We know the type of place where Ahmaud was at, deep in the South, redneck land. Why, as a black man, are you strolling through redneck land? Of course, we all want to say we should be able to go where we want to go, but that's not the case. Because these men are convicted, yes, but guess what? Ahmaud is still dead at the end of the day. Ain't no sentence, no amount of money gonna bring him back to life. So just stay away from out of enemy territory. That's the reminder slash lesson for me. And if I'm in a spot like that, I'm probably gonna be really watchful. I'm gonna be watching how I move, have something on me, and really understand I'm in a bad spot. And I just can't be jogging through, walking up in construction sites when I know I'm in some place where I'm not wanted. And you know, the takeaway is, basically that's the same, my takeaway. Please, people, protect yourself. You know there are racist people out here. Stop being so, what's the word I want to say?
Naive.
There you go. Thank you. Stop being so naive. You know, watch your surroundings. Know where you are at all times. And, you know, protect yourself. Move accordingly. Know where you're at. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. They thought they was going to get off on with that Kyle Rittenhouse syndrome. Self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got the
Kyle
syndrome.
Yeah, that's my boy there. That's my cat, Kyle, boy. Kyle whooped that thing, boy. He got that boy. Hey, I go to war with Kyle. That boy can pop that thing, can't he?
Hilarious. Dad, you won't go to war with him.
He's a shooter.
He's going to be shooting at you. I don't know if y'all are on the same team, brother.
Hey, what I know right now though, he ain't shot nothing that look like me.
I mean, you can trust him all you want.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Right now, he ain't shot nothing that looked like me.
You can trust him. Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
I don't know what that boy has done. You can trust him all day long. And that's a fact. That's the fact.
Yes, indeed. Let's hit the call lines. See what's popping.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller. You on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I was just rereading this case called the Forest Park Five. You remember when those...
Forest Park?
Yeah, you had off-duty St. Charles County Sheriff Deputy and his female jogging partner was jogging through Forest Park. And you had... Looked like it might have been three, but I thought it was five. Three black males tried to rob him.
Okay.
And I think this deputy done one of those OK Corral moves on him and shot them all. Because the other one, only one had a gun, and the others pretended like they had guns, so they all was charged. But anyway, no, that was a good ruling in Georgia with Albury. The men shouldn't have been shooting at him when I heard, understand while reading that they shot at him three times, which is totally inappropriate. For that to go down, they should have had somebody suspected. They should have called the police and tried to keep sight of them and pointed them out to the police. That's where that's supposed to work when you can do that. New Brunswick is a majority black town. And I think I sent a news article of a lady that was in, a black woman that was interviewed that was born there. I lived there a long time. She said she never experienced any racism. I wanted Kevin to read that. Of course, I guess she could be lying, but...
What town? What town?
New Brunswick. Georgia.
New Brunswick.
Where,
that's in Georgia. Yeah, that's
where all
this
happened.
Ahmaud Arbery was killed at. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, here's the point. She said it's outsiders because somebody is... burglarizing homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know the cause and effect. Well,
that
all these people ain't filing false police reports now, would they?
No, that could be true, but you don't just single out.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
I'm just making a point.
All these people can't be filing false police reports. And you come home, your windows bust, doors kicked in, so somebody is going through that quiet community and doing that, and they need to
be
caught and punished severely. I said somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody. So we don't know who it is. No, I'm just making a point.
Somebody.
We don't know who it is. True.
But we
true.
Do know
we
another
know.
Case where this racist black man at this Thanksgiving Day parade mowed down all those white people.
Okay, he was meant to be.
You can't deny that.
And
a long
wolf.
Yes, he was racist because. He was racist because.
No,
when he was driving.
Whoa. There's no evidence that this was racially motivated. There
well,
was
let
no
me tell you, it was racially motivated because there wasn't no blacks there. Wait a minute.
This about to
see,
be
you
good.
Jumped
come
to
on,
conclusion.
This about
there wasn't no blacks there. And he was
so
zigzagging down the street trying to hit the white. That sounds like, I mean, if me and Mustafa was on one side and whites was on the other side, he would go over and hit the whites. And the video
there's
show him
no,
almost just
that.
Narrowly
that's
hitting the girl.
There's no evidence of him targeting white people. There's no evidence.
There is.
They
got
like
videos. They have videos.
No,
you got a point
there's video of what
they
he's
got
saying.
Video.
You driving him. No, but you're
they show him. They show him zigzagging they show him zigzagging back and forth from one person to the other.
That doesn't mean that he was targeting white people, though. That doesn't mean
that.
There
wasn't nobody else there but whites at the parade.
Exactly. So, but that doesn't mean he was
targeting. So you mean to tell
me
that we need to have you, Mustafa, and Roger, and see if y'all get hit? If y'all don't get hit, then it's true. He is targeting whites.
No, but see, we can't go back in time. Then
he's stupid. He got a long criminal record, even impregnating a 15-year-old girl. He did the R. Kelly trick.
Mm. He did the R.
15-year-old girl in Nevada. Beating up his wife, a girlfriend. No, he beat up his girlfriend. Guess what he done with her? Ran over with the car.
Oh, right. I mean, they read his rap sheet. No, trust me. I'm not condoning
nothing. Then, wait a minute. Hang on. Wait a minute. Then, because of his privilege, he gets out on $500 bail.
Damn. That's because he was terrorizing
that kind of stuff.
Black people.
And that wasn't just
right,
the first time. Then to go to show you how stupid this fool is, this beast, he goes home. Bags his car up in the driveway where the front end is all tore up, is facing the street. I thought he at least put the car in the garage and go to Home Depot and get some paint and try to change the color of it.
Now, he was clearly mentally ill. Like,
you know, he ain't mentally. He knew exactly what he was doing because he went across the street to his white neighbor's house. The bar used the phone to call Uber.
Use the phone, call Uber. But that was a lie. And then the police.
What's a lie?
Bum rested dude Crip. No. He wasn't. He went to the.
He did go across. Well, according
to
the news, it's liberal. It's liberal news. It's right wing news.
I'm verifying what you're saying.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
We don't want to forget about that now. Now, Mustafa, that's crazy people in the world, but some folks just won't say it's only one kind. But that's not true. People crazy. That's the way they are. Look at Chicago. I always keep track of this. In 178
Chicago.
Days.
You always bring up Chicago.
Well, you have to. heaven.
No, you don't.
For heaven's sakes. Look.
No, you don't.
In 178 days since Memorial Day. 2,919 shot with 382 murders. There's no place in the country that kind of stuff is going on. 2,919. And that city must not, and you know, Chicago is short, has a shortage of 914 police officers. They quit because of
all the
hype they get. Then you add that to the other crazy stuff that's going on, like out in California with the smash and grab. So how in the heck do you expect business to even stay in business with that kind of mess going on? What they need to do is release the police and let them go back to cracking heads like they used to before it got too far gone.
Uh-oh.
Cracking his.
Right. Hey.
They do it over there in Africa. They do it in the motherland. That's why it's the motherland.
Real quick, what do you think? What do y'all think, real quick? What should be the sentence for that dude who ran them people over at the parade? How y'all think that should be handled?
He should be executed in the streets.
Brother Kev, White, Raju, what y'all think?
I don't know. I mean, I'll let the courts decide. I mean, the brother's mentally ill. I think he's mentally ill.
He ain't mentally ill. He got good sense. He's already was evaluated in
the
court.
The dude is mentally ill.
So when they evaluated him because he tried to declare that and they say he's okay to stand trial, I guess that's wrong too, huh? I mean, that was something else with that. See, that type of stuff, he belonged to some black nationalist organization. That's the same thing. Like you say, like you can't blame Elijah Muhammad. Well, they want to blame Trump.
Stop it. Now he belongs to a black nationalist organization.
Wait a minute. Yes, he was. I think I heard something like that. I have to check. But here's the thing.
You got to check. Exactly.
Here's the thing. You want to blame Trump for everything, and you can't blame Elijah Muhammad, nor can you blame Maxine Waters when she told her people to go out and get in their face and so on and so on and so on. Aggravate them. Every place you see the supporters. Nothing said about her doing that. No repercussions. Could she have been behind this emboldenment that we seen with this other guy? This guy named Brooks?
Probably not, but...
Well, it's always probably when it comes down to somebody who got that kind of privilege. But anyway, Roger, what you try to go into place? You know you didn't have your shots. Is that the concert that you sponsored? That you organized?
No. That was a different one.
Well, I picked the place and call racism. I mean, everybody in there didn't have to produce no passport. That's against your constitutional rights.
I think it is, too. It wasn't necessary. You know, they just
turned
me.
Yeah, they probably overcharging.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, you guys don't have anything else. I see where your continent is about ready to fall apart again with all the stuff that's going on over there, especially in the Sudan, the Tariq. And, you know, by the way, you talk about justice. Nigerian police lay you down on the ground, face down, and walk up and shoot you in the back of the head. Those scenes is on YouTube, too. Is that the way to do it, you think?
Not for me.
They walk around with those big guns. I know that.
Yeah, they do, and they'll shoot you too. They don't waste no time. If you speeding and the cop walk up to you and you start talking about what you stopping me for, bap. Exactly.
Now, from my experience, when I was there, it was speeding going on everywhere. I didn't see anyone being chastised for any traffic violations. It don't seem like it happens. In fact, when one of my drivers was literally hanging out the window, cussing one of the police officers out because he got in his way, because he driving fast.
What
the
country
police
were you in?
Nigeria. In fact, I think when this happened, I may have been in Benin.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But you go through them you go through any checkpoints?
No, I don't believe I did, unless it was when I was asleep. Because when I left Lagos and went to Benin, which is like driving from St. Louis to Chicago, and because of the traffic and the distance, we left really early, and I did kind of, I was asleep a lot of the way.
Oh, okay.
Early. So I don't
well,
think
it's probably
we did.
Happy to see. They're probably happy to see you, Najee. Yeah, that type of effect, though.
I felt like they knew that I was there.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Carry
yes,
on.
Indeed.
All right, appreciate you. Appreciate you, brother.
Peace,
we'll be back in touch.
Thank you, P.
Hey, Roger, you didn't, real quick, before you go to the next caller, I didn't say what you think happened to the dude. What should happen to the dude who ran them people over?
I mean, you know, I'll answer that. I think a better question is what they going to do to him, because I want to see what they going to do to him. I think, you know, if he was mentally ill, I think they should treat it as if like they do with everybody else that's mentally ill. You know, I don't know the state of the guy. I didn't really see a lot of the videos, either the footage of the incident. So I don't really have enough information to really provide the best opinion or full opinion about it, because I'm missing a lot of information. I think I only seen a picture of the young man, and I only heard other people, like Brother Kev, saying that he was mentally ill. I didn't see that for myself. So I would like to just pass on that, you know. But if he was in error and he did that maliciously, then that's not a good thing, you know. Yeah, he should be held accountable for his actions. You know. I'm not against that.
All right.
But I would like to see, I think my question is more so I want to see what they're going to do to him. I like to see if they're going, how fair they're going to be with the situation. I'm just curious to know that. But maybe when I get a little bit more information, I can follow up with that answer, Mufasa.
Especially now that we know that, you know, he was a race soldier, thanks to Brother Piagi.
Well, I mean,
maybe we should have more race soldiers.
They got more than we got, so maybe it's
time. Right, you're using the term wrong, brother. A race soldier is a police that works for the establishment, a white police who kills non-white people. That's a race soldier. So, that term was coined by Nellie Fuller, brother. So he was not a race soldier just based on what Nellie Fuller said it was.
But. Yeah, and before I get to the call lines, I'd just like to say to all the listeners, including some of the hosts, Brother P is a great guy. We love him. We appreciate him. But he don't know everything. He'd be wrong. That's all. Next caller, area code 315-767. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, man, y'all call me mid-laugh. I'm laughing at you, Roger. Talking off y'all.
What'd you say? I'm sorry. What did you say? I missed.
Because, no, I said you called me. I was laughing at your comment. I was laughing at you talking on Piaki.
I love Pete. I give him the utmost respect.
Oh, man, y'all talked on so much. Y'all touched so much today.
I know.
But I was talking with my brother who was talking to Mufasa, who was talking about, hey, when you get on the show, they really wanted me to express a period in which I experienced racism. Is that still something that you were still interested in, Mufasa? Or we just
come,
talking
yeah,
about
come on here. I actually meant to ask Rigel and Ed earlier, can they think of a time when they've experienced, you know, firsthand when they've experienced racism? I wanted to get their opinion on that, but we was talking about, you know, some other things. But go ahead, bro.
Well, I can tell you when I experienced some racism. So, you know, I was in the military. I was in the military for 21 years, and I had to do my entire career being labeled Caucasian. On my military files, I'm labeled Caucasian. From the day I started to the day I ended, and as many times as I would go into the S1 and try to get them soldiers in there to change my status. And I would show them my birth certificate, show them pictures of my father. Those ladies, who all happened to be black, said I wasn't dark enough for them to do the work to change my paperwork.
Wow.
I wasn't black
enough. They just forced you to be white.
So, yes, the government considers me Caucasian, even though I have submitted the proof and photographic evidence that I am not Caucasian, but according to all the, and this is multiple different places, multiple different units, and it seems like all the S1s are staffed with black females. They just hated on the fact that I wasn't black enough for them to go ahead and do the little bit of work to change my race on my paperwork.
Wow.
And they didn't even ask me when I went in. When I went in, I put that I was black on my paperwork, but someone just decided, probably some black female people that in the intake said, nah, he just lying, and just made me white.
That's sad. That's some racism. And you got a black dad, and you got a black father.
They won't let him be black.
And you got a black father.
Yes. My father is your uncle. Your mama's brother.
Yeah. And I think last I checked, all these people you just named were black.
Yes.
So.
But yeah, I experienced a little bit of racism.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if it ain't too late. I would love for Rigel and Brother Kev to share one story. You ain't got to go hard. Just a story where you experienced firsthand racism.
Okay.
I got one too.
Okay. All right, caller. Well, thank you for letting us know.
I didn't really want to talk about those other things anyway.
Well, thank you for the honesty. Appreciate you, caller. We always enjoy our callers calling in. We appreciate our alumni as well. Brother K, you want to go first?
Go ahead. Do we have any more calls? You want to get the caller first, then we come back? Or make sure
it don't matter. I mean, I can get my... Because I have experienced racism before. Those that don't know, I'm a dark skinned. I can't be like the other caller. You're not going to confuse me. I'm definitely black. So, and I have experienced racism. There was a time when I was much younger, shortly after high school, I was going to be a flight attendant. And when you go to to do the training to become a flight attendant, it's a very strict course, and you have to you can't be late. So they got a lot of strict rules. You have to take a test every week, two tests, and you have to do a final at the end of the course. And you cannot of course you cannot flunk. Throughout the course, they may allow you to maybe flunk, if I remember correctly, one or two tests. I think it may just be one or it may not be any, because it was very strict. But nevertheless, I was doing very well. I met all the rules. I didn't miss a test. I didn't flunk any test. I did well. I was never late or absent. We did the final. I was doing great. Of course, it wasn't a lot of blacks in this course, myself and one other. To make a long story short, we didn't get the job. They replaced me with a white lady that had not only flunked three tests and cried her way back into the course, she was late, she had missed the day, and failed over the amount of time, the amount allowed. Failed the way more than the test that would allow her. She flunked, and she cried her way back into the course. And I know they replaced her with my position. When I looked, they went over my final test with me. I was passing with a 90 up until the very last two pages of the course when you have to dissect the aircraft. So when they saw that I was passing with a 90. On that last two pages where you have to dissect the aircraft, they was marking off and giving me points just to lower my score, to give me a flunking score. And it was very obvious. I never pursued it afterward, but I know for a fact I was discriminated against because I was a black woman. Mm. They did not want me to be a flight attendant at that particular airline, and they gave my position to this white girl that kept flunking tests. I know she was flunking tests during the course. She flunked the doggone final too, but she was white. And me and the other only black person, they kicked us out.
Wow. So I'm sure you wish if you could go back in time, you would have probably got on their heads. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I may have. You're right, I may have, but not so much to get the job. I probably would have filed some type of lawsuit or something, but not so much to get the job. A little bit after that 9/11 happened, so I was like, okay, I don't want to be a flight attendant no more.
Yeah.
But I pretty much went through the whole course, so technically I was pretty much trained to be a flight attendant. I probably could have took my skills and my training to another airline because I did the whole course. Yeah, but
what about you,
Brother
Ken?
Well, maybe we should let's move on to the call lines. Because I know we kind of run out of time. I don't want to keep everybody waiting along. So, area code 314-438. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Okay, maybe they're just listening. Area code 314-438. Okay, that's a listener. Thank you so much for listening. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I'm coming. How everybody doing over there?
Hey, Colin, what's good?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Colin?
I mean, one thing I want to say is talk about the verdict on those three men. They only did what they do was right because they all in the courtroom and everybody outside the courtroom knew that wasn't even cold-blooded murder. It was just like a modern-day lynching is what it was. That's what the hell that was. They ain't want to say it in the
right,
football,
right.
I'm telling you that on the radio. It was a modern-day lynching.
Right.
That's exactly what they did. They followed that man. He was running away from them, trying to get away from them. And then they were showing a video talking about he was in earlier that day or that night before, he was in the vacant house that was being built. Trust me and believe me, when it comes to computers, their computers, it took them 70 days to get that intact. They had 70 days to crop that man, picture that, and they don't tell them what they did to get him in that and say he was in that building. I wouldn't put it past because it looked fake to me. And y'all know they can do that. They can crop you right on in the picture, like on right on in the building, like you in that building. Have you moving like you moving and moving, and it's a picture. I don't put nothing as you do. I don't. They had 7 months to do that. And you know for a fact, y'all all know, if that was reverse action, there ain't no way them three black dudes would have been out on any kind of bill. They would have gave them a bill so high, but they wouldn't even let it spill. For real. They wouldn't even let it spill a bill that would have been so high. But that's how they do it. That's how they do. And I'm glad that his family did. I don't think so much of closure for justice. That it might not have been the justice. I know she would love to have her turn back over all that stuff, but unfortunately, you know that ain't how it works. But I'm just glad the parents got some justice in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. And we all know the young boy. That case, I just feel like this here. If he killed them kids, them people in malice, what goes around comes around. He'll have his judgment day too. So ain't nobody got word about that. He made that off with the court, but he didn't get off with that crap with God. So this is the Bible. He ain't supposed to kill.
Yeah.
And what y'all think about this new Bible out? It's a whole mess. I just think all this stuff is a whole mess, and it is political. And they always, the first thing they try to do is try to say vaccinated people are spreading it. That's a dang old lie. Those people got to put all that stuff in their system. That's who's spreading it. The unvaccinated is the ones that's spreading it, and they're the ones getting sick. All right. That's a lie, too. That's what they want you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what they want you to believe. So you go on out and do whatever they tell you. And now they got a whole other thing. Oh, we're not for certain if you have to get another shot. So how many shots y'all gonna get? You didn't get that many shots with the chicken pots and the shot as a kid. Now you gotta get all these shots in a year plus span. You tell me how that went, y'all.
Yeah, that's too much.
Way too much.
I don't
want
Yeah.
Way too much. And they figuring out as they go along.
Too much medicine for me.
Yep. They figuring it out as they go along and they want food to go along with that stuff. It's a shame out here. And I just know I was looking back, you know, like when Biden was in campaign. And one of the things he said in his campaign, I don't know if y'all can go back and pull that up, he said that he would never mandate the people lost their been working during this pandemic the whole time. They walking off jobs because he's telling them they have to get vaccinated. That ain't right. That's just not right. That's just not right. But he definitely
gets
said
a pass.
Because I looked at one, I got to pull it up again. But if you one of his things when he was doing his campaign, he was saying they was asking him about the coronavirus and all of that stuff. And would he mandate me get say, no, that's a personal choice and all that. But then he went right behind him. As soon as he got in office, couldn't wait till he got in office to legal. Oh, we're going to mandate this and mandate that. What you did should have been did a long time ago. You should have never, when it first happened, you should have never reopened no borders and all of that stuff. That's what the problem is. And you should have never told people, and I keep saying it, to stop wearing masks, period. China been wearing masks for over 15, 20 years. What you think, what makes you think the United States going to come in here and they're going to get rid of a pandemic in a year? Something man-made and they put out here. Come on now. For real.
And definitely should have kept them. But all right, Carla, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Thanks, that was good information.
Right.
I agree. I definitely think they should have kept them borders, you know, closed. They should have had more security on that, you know. But okay, let's try to get to another caller.
Trump 2024.
Unfortunately, we'll have to be the last caller, everybody. I'm sorry if we couldn't get to all the callers. Area code 319. 572, calling on Reflective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, as of Mufasa's question for me this week, I experienced racism. I was a fresh back in high school. Mm-hmm. Making their little racial comments.
Okay.
It's going to be mess.
It sounds like your phone. You like you may be having an interference.
Hello?
Say something again, Colin.
Hello? Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. He was saying, Mufasa, was you hearing him clear? He was saying he had an experience, a racial experience.
Yeah, it was breaking up, though.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah.
There you go ahead, man. Yeah, come on with it.
Well, these white boys were throwing BBs and making racial comments. Teacher happened to leave, so they took advantage. One of the kids had to run all the way down the hallway yelling, Kenzie's killing Glenn, Kenzie's killing Glenn. By the time the teacher got back in, I had dude up off his feet, dangling from the wall by his neck, and his face was purple. And they pulled me off, and I just dropped them. I didn't have no problem out of them boys after that. And as far as Kevin saying this dude mentally ill, I'm mentally ill. That dude's going to go to prison. He's going to die in prison, and then he's going to be put in a prison graveyard. And then, on top of that, quit ducking the question, Kevin. When was the last time you experienced racism?
Dang.
Oh, I was going to answer. Hold on. I was trying to get to the callers.
Right.
you only got a couple minutes. Quit ducking the question.
I'm not ducking.
I'm out.
I'm getting out of
here. Okay, thank you, right. Caller, so much. Thank you.
Right on, caller. I feel like I'm being punked or something. What's happening? But listen, fam, the question is, like, as a black man, I've, quote unquote, fit the description plenty of times. And most of the times it has to do with the police. One time in particular, I was on a date, matter of fact, with my wife. We was leaving a spot, walking back to the car. Police rolled up on me, you know, saying that somebody had just robbed a house. I fit the description. I had on an orange shirt. They said the brother had on, or the person had on, a red shirt, right? So they roughed me up, had me pull out my ID, put me in handcuffs even. Was about to put me in a car, but I'm like, hold up. So this has happened a number of times. I've been pulled over for nothing by driving while black. I've had a few incidents like that. This is just the basic stuff that black men, black people go through. You know what I mean? Like, you fit the description. How convenient is that? Every black person fit the description, because majority of the times they, quote unquote, looking for somebody black. So that's just a convenient lie that they use, when really it's just racism. It's really just stop and frisk. But they use that, oh, you fit the description type of thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's happened. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even know why
normal.
That's...
Yeah. Yeah, this is like normal for a black man, like, to fit the description or to be accused of something that you didn't do. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's one experience. Yeah, and this was, mind you, the incident I'm talking about was literally right down the street from where I lived at the time. Like, I'm in my own neighborhood, and they rolled up on me, stopped, and I'm walking with a female. Well, I'm walking with my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, but I'm walking with a female. It's like, you running up on, you think I'm really just robbed a house and we just lollygagging down the street? Like, come on, fam. So, yeah, so, you know, I've experienced that a few times when dealing with real race soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Real race soldiers. So, but, you know, it happens, and you just keep it moving.
Yeah, that's funny. They was under the impression that you never experienced racism, Brother Kev. I already knew where they was going. When the question hit, I already knew where they was.
But they know that's not true, because the fact that we grew up in an environment in the west side of St. Louis,
exactly,
where there's guns and drugs, that's racism right there. Like, what do you mean? From the moment I was born into a racially segregated city where there's guns, drugs, gangs, dope, like all type of stuff. That's racism right there. How do you think black people got into these environments? Like, that's racism right there. So there's no way any black person, I would say, on this planet could say they never experienced racism. I just think that's damn near impossible. You know, but I won't, you know, tell nobody their experience or what they went through, but I just don't believe you. You know what I'm saying? You need more people. If you didn't experience racism, like, you need more people. So,
yeah.
But I digress.
Right, so even question.
I digress.
I appreciate all the calls, but to even question whether or not a black person has ever experienced racism is just ridiculous. I think the fact that they would even choose to come to you like that is crazy. It's like, come on now.
Yeah, like, so, come on, man.
To even send you, because that's all it was.
Too?
Out of,
right.
You know, crazy. So, once again, we're dealing with folks that just try to ignore that we actually have a racist issue in this world. These are people that try to pretend that it don't exist. I'm
right, denial.
Out.
Yeah, denial, and not the river in Egypt, but they in denial.
It wasn't a genuine question. You were just asking because you just, like,
I
bet he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Thank you guys for calling. We appreciate you so much. Tune in with us next Sunday, each and every Sunday, like always, on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. Tune in next week. Peace.
Let that play out. Bye.
Collective mind.
What they thought?